Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at JustAskVi. That's VI.com.
The following is an exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League.
Yeah! Touchdown!
Panther Talk.
This is Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule. Presented by Morris Jenkins. When your plumbing or air conditioning is acting up, call Morris Jenkins or visit morrisjenkins.com.
And it's intercepted. Thrown right over the middle and picked off by Houston Carson. And that will allow Chicago to end the ball game.
Well, I think the fact that we had all those negative things and we still had a chance to win the game, I mean, I think we're a better team than we felt like we were today at times. But we hung in the game. We found a way to come back and get a chance to go win the game.
And now, along with Jim Soke and Eugene Robinson, here's Mick Mixon with Panther Talk, live from the Panthers broadcast facility at Bank of America Stadium.
One of our favorite hours of the week. We love this show. Thank you for being a part of it. Along with the Zoke, Jeannie Robb, it's Mick. We jump right to the phone where the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, Matt Rhule, is on the line. Coach, you talk to us frequently about the truth, and the truth is there if you'll find it and be honest with it. It's in the game tape. It's on the practice field in the locker room. As you watch the tape of the Bears' loss, what were the truths of that game in your mind?
Well, like any other game, there was lots of good things that we did, but we did too many bad things. And we beat ourselves with penalties. We beat ourselves with turnovers. And we also beat ourselves with missed opportunities, chances to make the plays that could have won the game. And so I think all of us left saying that wasn't the way we wanted to play. We didn't play our brand of football. And, while we had a chance to win, we didn't make it happen. And so I think we leave disappointed, encouraged at the same time, but also disappointed.
Coach, you went against an explosive defense in the Chicago Bears, but what did you learn about your defense? We saw a number of plays out there, and particularly I need to just point out Rasul Douglas. A great job in jumping down on those slants and continuing that drive right across the field to stop a first down.
Yeah, I think there were lots of good things to point out on defense. Holding anybody to under 100 yards rushing, especially when rushing defense has been something that we've been asking about, ourselves about and trying to improve upon. Two of the touchdowns they scored were on short fields. I thought our guys stepped up and played, made big plays on defense, when needed. That being said, we weren't good enough on third down, 50% on third down. And anytime you do that, you give a team hope. And I felt like we played well enough to have a chance to win, but not probably well enough to win. And I'm proud of the improvement. We just have to continue to string things like that together, stop the run and get off the field on third down. And I think every week we get a little bit better on defense.
And just to focus on the defensive line, Coach, obviously no KK Short the rest of the season. Yetur will be out for a number of weeks, obviously. So who kind of picked up the slack in terms of a number of snaps and impressed you as far as what they were able to do on the defensive line?
Now, we rotated. We played a bunch of guys. And I thought that Derek Brown probably played his best game, made some dominating plays in the backfield, reset the line of scrimmage. I thought he was focused and played hard, and it was good to see his progress. And I thought Brian Burns, came in there, gave us some pressure, was able to pressure the quarterback. So, I thought it was a good group effort, limiting the run. I thought they did some good things in that regard and were able to get pressure on the quarterback at certain times.
Staying on the defense, Coach Rhule, and this is Matt Rhule. He's joining us live on Panther Talk tonight. Jeremy Chinn's obviously got the physical skill. He's got the chops to play this many positions. But what kind of an academic load is this? What kind of course load is this for a rookie to be able to learn all that he's tasked with?
Yeah, not many guys would be able to do it. You know, I think a lot of guys would come to me and say, hey, coach, you know, I can't get comfortable. You know, I never feel comfortable. But that's not how he's wired. I mean, he's a workhorse. He's out there to win. He's out there to help his team. He's out there to do what he's asked to do and do what he's coached to do. And not only does he do it, he does it well. He does it the way you ask him to do it. And to me, that's vital. You know, we need our young guys to buy in from the very beginning into not only what we're asking them to do, but the way we're asking them to do it. And he's done that. And I think we all see the results he's having.
Coach, we mentioned about the Chicago Bears defense, which was, you know, they're just very, very good. What did your offensive line face? Did you face a little bit more games by that defensive front?
Yeah, I mean, they did a really nice job of you know, slanting on, you know, on the man side of our protection, looping a guy around. And unfortunately, we weren't able to get the ball out of our hand enough. You know, not enough guys were open early enough. And that looper was able to get a lot of pressure. And they did a nice job, you know, getting ready for us. They did a nice job of limiting some of the things that, you know, we like to do. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, our quarterback was never able to get comfortable in the pocket. And that's to me, that's rule number one up front. We have to make sure that our quarterback feels in rhythm, feels good in the pocket, and just didn't get that done.
And I think Mike Davis was either 4.8 or 4.9 yards per carry coming in this game under 2.9. As far as their run defense, and obviously they're a good defense overall, what were some of the things they were able to do to kind of take Mike Davis and limit what he was able to do?
I just think they played well. You know, they dropped safeties down in the box. They played a lot of one high zone. You know, they did a good job just playing fundamental football. I mean, you know, I always try to get our guys convinced that it's not really what you do, it's how you do it. And the Bears are a great example. They don't really try to trick you. They just play with tremendous fundamentals and effort. And, you know, we had good runs. You know, we had some 10-yarders, some 12-yarders, just weren't able to string enough of those together. And part of that's when, you know, you're playing from behind, when you're turning the ball over, you know, you know, you're not really in a position to run the ball and run the clock out like we have been in the past couple of weeks. So, to me, everything kind of goes together. Everything relates to each other. And it's not any one guy. Just, you know, offensively, it was not a very good day for us. It was not a day that we were in rhythm.
Yeah, you mentioned that with the press corps earlier, Coach. Were you up against the play clock jam, in a more of a clock jam than you like for your offenses to be typically?
Yeah, we haven't had that all year. And again, you know, use the word rhythm, and that can mean a lot of different things. But just even, you know, getting in and out of the huddle, getting up to the line of scrimmage, guys getting on and off the field. Obviously, you know, a couple different people out there, not having Curtis out there, guys, you know, trying to get adjusted to maybe some different roles, but just not a clean game. And, you know, to me, offense can sometimes be so much about just, you know, just getting in a rhythm and feeling good and things just kind of coming to you, not forcing it. And, you know, to me, we looked like a group that was the forcing things. And, you know, so we have to go back to work. Make sure that we don't beat ourselves, that we play a clean game. And when we do that, when we don't turn the ball over, we always have a chance.
And, Coach, I know you've already talked about this at 4th and 2, but could you walk me through the 4th and 2? You had Quaz on the left-hand side, and I thought a beautiful play selection and just a missed opportunity because the right places would go to that 7 route by DJ Moore.
Yeah, you know, that's a play that, you know, has multiple options. You know, you have guys low, you have guys high, you have guys running across her, and you feel like you have a chance on it, multiple opportunities. And just kind of like the rest of the day, we just didn't quite hit on it. You know, I've been asked a lot whose fault was it, all those different things. And, you know, I kind of walk away from things like that, like, hey, that's just kind of summarized the way that we played. You know, we had our opportunity. We almost made it happen, and we didn't make it happen. And, you know, that I thought that was a good play call by Joe. Absolutely. But again, kind of like I said before, you know, it's not always what you do; it's how you do it. And we just quite didn't click on that play, and we just quite didn't click a lot quick in the red zone. Certainly didn't click on third down. And you know, that's been kind of who we are. We have, you know, we're a team that when we click, we're really good. And so we're still learning each other. We're still getting, you know, still getting used to each other. And I would expect to see us respond in a really big way in terms of making sure that we have great timing with each other.
Well, Matt, it was announced earlier today, obviously, the intensive protocols. So today and tomorrow, basically work from home virtually. How did that go for you today? And would you tell your coaches in terms of just how to handle these next couple work days and hoping to get back on a regular schedule Wednesday?
Yeah, you know, Monday for us is usually a day where we, you know, spend a lot of time on our own evaluating the tape. We can meet, which we meet virtually. We met with the players, which, you know, obviously we got used to in the off season. You know, for me, it's been a quiet day. Normally, you know, my door gets knocked on a lot on a Monday. There's lots of conversations with people. Not quite as many today, mainly more on the phone. So I've been able to kind of go back and really watch the tape and just, you know, you always want to go back and quality control yourself as a team and say, are we doing the right things? Are we doing them the right way? And so I try to take advantage of that. Tomorrow is a game plan day. So it's a day when a lot of guys are, you know, working separately, then come together. So I think if we continue to do things the right way, you know, in terms of COVID and all the different protocols, hopefully we can get back out there Wednesday. And really Wednesday is our work day. And I'm anxious to get back out there with the guys.
Got the Saints this weekend. Coach Rhule, will get deeper into New Orleans as the week unfolds. But what's your sort of early in the week thumbnail about what makes the New Orleans Saints such a good football team on both sides of the ball?
Well, you know, I had a chance to watch them early in the season, you know, because they played Tampa Bay before we played Tampa. And obviously, you know, to me, when you start talking about, you know, the Saints, you have to talk about Drew Brees first, Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara. I mean, they have tremendous skill. Emmanuel Sanders now, great offensive line. Cooks does, you know, great job. And then, you know, defensively, they get pressure. They have a tremendous rush. They have your quarterback under duress, or at least they have up to this point. And so it'll be the same challenges that it is every week, you know, trying to keep a high flying offense, you know, limited, and trying to make sure that we can find a way to run the footballs, find a way to make sure that our quarterback is comfortable and upright, and then, you know, go win the situations, win third down, win the red zone. And, you know, to me, I always try to get, I'm still trying to get our guys to have the mindset that it's all about us. It's about us protecting the football. It's about us not beating ourselves. It's about us playing our best game. And when we play our best game, we're a really good team. And while we didn't do that this past Sunday, we have another opportunity next Sunday.
And, Coach, I know that he'll probably get asked this a lot, Teddy Bridgewater, but having Teddy Bridgewater be in that system, play in that system, know the kind of the nuances of that system, does that help what you guys going to do and plan?
You know, I always look at that like that can help you, but it can also help them. You know, just like, you know, Teddy knows them, just like Joe knows them. You know, they know us. So yes. There'll be a lot of commonalities, a lot of guys knowing each other. And so, you know, I think especially coming off this last game, I'm going to try to get our guys as best I can to not focus on them, but to just say, you know what, let's go out there and play our best game. Let's lock in on who we are and our identity and the way that we do things. And when we play, you know, like a tough, angry football team, we're a good team. And we're going to have to get back to that this week versus a great team.
In general, Matt, are those connections, is it just kind of overblown as far as people talk about it outside of the organization, when every team seems to have players or coaches with a history with some other previous coach or player? Just in general, is that such a minute part of the detailed planning that goes on all week that really doesn't matter that much?
Well, I mean, if you just look at the NFC South, I mean, like, you know, obviously we play the Falcons twice, we play the Bucks twice, we play the Saints twice. I mean, you probably know each other as much as, you know someone that, you know, you used to play with. And so, I mean, I think all those things are real. They're all important things. But at the end of the day, you get into the game, you have a different game plan for every game. It just comes down to who plays the best. And so I think they're all the connections are real. What you don't want is you don't ever want your guys to make a game bigger than it is. You know, when you do that, you have a tendency to play with too much emotion. You know, you're not focused. I mean, this is a game of concentration and focus, as well as physicality and effort. And when we're focused on the minutest of details, you know, we're a good team. And so I'm just trying to get our guys to lock in into the things that we can control, because when we do that, we don't beat ourselves. And when we don't beat ourselves, you know, we give ourselves a chance to win.
Lastly, Coach, before we part company, veteran coaches have said, we've heard them say, you probably have too, that over time, wins become just a relief and the losses still kill you. How do you go about putting the appropriate boundaries around that and siphoning every bit of joy out of each week in the NFL that you and your team can?
Well, you know, I know I'm a rookie head coach in the NFL, but I've been a head coach for 7 years. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure in this job. There's a lot of pressure as a player and as a coach. And yeah, you can get to the point where it becomes just a relief to win. I think the thing that I try to put my focus on is, you know, Chuck Noll once said, and I'll paraphrase it and I'll probably mess it up, but you know, it's an unhappy life for the coach whose only joy is winning. And I guess the point in that is that, like, as a coach, you have to find joy in coaching, in teaching, in game planning, in practicing. Like, when you love every step of the process, then, you know, the wins mean that much more to you. And when you have a loss, you know, it frustrates you. You know, you're angry, you're disappointed, all those different things. But it's also a challenge. And, you know, I come out of yesterday feeling challenged, and I don't come out feeling sad. I mean, I'm unhappy that we lost, but I feel challenged. I want our team to feel challenged. And, you know, when you do that together, that's what makes the wins so much more fun, is that you're enjoying the win together. You're celebrating together. You're making the most of the opportunity and the work that you put in together. And sometimes, you know, we lose sight of that. Sometimes, you know, winning just becomes a relief. But I want winning to be, you know, be a joyous moment that's part of the process. And you can only enjoy it if you really did work your tail off along the way in the process.
Under your purview, there are going to be a lot of Sweet Carolines being sung in that Panther locker room downstairs to come, Coach. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it, and look forward to seeing you this week.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
Matt Rhule, head coach, Carolina Panthers. We'll have the broadcast roundtable, and then Tahir Whitehead after that, Marty Herney in the on-deck circle, all that and more when we continue with Panther Talk. This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Extra blockers to the far side. Gardner tackle to the near side. Burns giving chase. Brown giving chase. So is Kerr. And the throw in traffic intercepted. Panthers got it back. Shin picks it up at the 9-yard line.
Anytime you turn the ball over three times, you're probably not going to have much of a chance to win. And, you know, we were able to hang in there. And I thought our defense, you know, wasn't perfect, but you held them to 260 yards of offense. I mean, that's hard to do, even with some short fields.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Thank you, Mr. Big Voice. Our broadcast roundtable brought to you by GEICO. Great news. You can save money. Only spend a quarter hour of your time. You switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in just 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. Eugene, the Zoke, would it be overstating things to say, because it's a loss, I mean, it's not a win, no matter what you might want, positives you might want to take out of it. But would it be overstating it, would it be too much of a reach to say that it was impressive how, with all that went wrong and did not go right yesterday for the Panthers, that hang-in-there factor, the ability to possess the ball twice, down seven late, chance to go down and make something happen, it's kind of cool what Matt Rhule's got going on here.
You know, I've said this, that sometimes when you win, you lose, and sometimes when you lose, you win. And even though that was a loss, it just doesn't feel the same as a loss to me. It feels a totally different. You're absolutely right. Having two opportunities to go down and score, that fourth down and two play, outstanding. Don't forget, this Bears team is one of the best teams in the league. Defensively, there's not too many teams that can hold a candle to the Bears at all. And so from that standpoint, it's just amazing to me that you think of a loss and you say, oh, they're just a team that just lost a game. It's not. We faced the Bears defense, which is one of the toughest defenses, and we had a chance to win the game, tie it up. That ball thrown on the opposite shoulder to DJ Moore, that's most likely a touchdown, and you tie the game up. And so from that standpoint, it just doesn't feel to me like a loss, even though I know it's an L in the column. It feels a little bit differently.
And there's a lot of teams with injuries, but Mike Davis has made people forget that the best player on the team hasn't been playing, Christian McCaffrey, this year. And people say, what's wrong on third down? What's wrong in the red zone? Well, you don't have your number one offensive weapon. He makes a lot of things happen anywhere on the field, let alone in the red zone. Sometimes he avoids the red zone because he scores from 50 yards out and you don't even get into the red zone. So there's a lot that's missing that when he comes back and you pair him with Mike Davis and be able to use them in different ways, that'll probably help with some of that too. And then the attrition we mentioned on the defense this past week with the injuries, it's a lot to overcome. And again, it's not an excuse and you have to play through it, but the reality is just like it didn't feel like a loss. When you go Sam Franklin and some of these guys that are playing undrafted rookies out there, it's pretty impressive how they kind of held their own out there.
Yeah, like Eugene mentioned, Rasul Douglas and his contributions. And there's no doubt the best will be yet to be. But Chicago is pretty good on defense. They've invested in their front and definitely shows. Well, Taylor Whitehead will be next, and then Marty Herney after that. This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network. And Carolina Panther linebacker Tahir Whitehead has been watching Derrick Brown. He says that the rookie D-tackle is getting a feel for the pro game.
DB's been playing awesome, man. You know, each week, you know, he's understanding exactly, you know, the rigors of, you know, the playing. You know, he's played in the SEC, but the rigors of playing in the NFL and just how, you know, every week in, week out, everyone is good, you know, so your technique has to be on point, and he's starting to, he gets it, you know, he's starting to get it. He's starting to come into his own, and, you know, he's playing at a high level. We just, you know, just got to make sure, you know, he continues to play there as well as everyone around him.
The Panthers will need that push up the middle against Drew Brees and the Saints.
No, it's going to be major, you know, especially because, you know, that height difference, you know, as far as Drew, you know, he wants to stand in the pocket. He wants to just be able to, you know, toss the ball and, you know, and be comfortable. And, you know, you get that inside push the way with DB, the way he's playing, you definitely get a chance to move him off the spot and make him uncomfortable.
Whitehead is not afraid to state that this weekend's opponent, the New Orleans Saints, are an incredible football team.
You know, just the mentality of the team. You know, they've been good for quite some time, and, you know, you just have to respect that. You have to, you know, so you're curious about the inner workings of how they run, you know, the team, or, you know, things of that like that, the camaraderie aspect and how close-knit, you know, some of the guys are. So, you know, you pretty much, you know, you ask about that type of stuff. But, you know, and obviously that goes a long way when you have a close-knit team. You know, you're not out there just playing for yourself. You know, it means a lot more when you're playing for the guy to your right, to your left, in front, behind. You know, and you're playing for, you know, your teammates. You know, you're playing for the coaches, and everyone's pulling in the same direction. So, you know, with the guys that's come over from the Saints, you know, just talk to them about, you know, from that standpoint, like, how have they been able to keep it going? And I think they've created a culture, and everyone's bought into the culture in which they have there. And I think we have something in the works, and we have something brewing on our end to be able to definitely you know, get to that same point. And I think as long as each guy on our team continue to buy in and take ownership in their play and take ownership in what we're trying to do as a team, I see us being at that level very soon.
Lastly, in what areas does this Panther defense need to improve?
Third down is money down. You need to be able to find a way to get off the field. You need to find a way to make the team punt the ball and not continue to extend their drives. So I think that's something that, you know, we'll continue to work at, and I think we will get better at it, because at the end of the day, we have that type of group. You know, we have a group of guys that are hungry to, you know, get things to correct and go out there and play some good ball. Outside of that, I think, you know, we've been bringing it together, you know, not having the preseason, things of that nature, and everything that's gone on, the close games we've had early on in the year, the losses we've suffered, you know, and just see how much, you know, how much fight we have in us as a unit, as a team. I think that right there in itself, you know, that we can hang our hat on that, and we can build off of that. It's always going to be, you know, it's never going to be perfect, and we understand that. It's always going to be a few things that need to be corrected. And when we're watching the film, you know, we harp more on the things that need to be corrected or the things that we did wrong, instead of getting, you know, beating our chest about the things that we did right. And I think from the coaching staff, you know, the coaching staff, the players, that's the mindset that we all possess. We don't care about the things that we're doing right. Okay, cool. Keep doing those things good. But what are we doing wrong right now, and how can we fix it? And I think that's the goal right now. So as far as, you know, keeping points off the board, you know, in the red zone, when teams get in the red zone, and, you know, third down defense finding a way to get off the field, that's where, you know, we need to continue to build on.
Up next for Whitehead and the Carolina Panthers, the high-octane offense of Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. That'll be Sunday in the Superdome. Stay tuned. Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues right after this.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
2x2 set, one back. Bridgewater in the shotgun, shows the white glove on each hand. Paradis is center, has the snap, climbs the pocket, goes long and left. Stretched out for the catch, and Anderson made it. Panthers will take it. First and goal from the 1 yard line. Up the middle, Mike Davis, touchdown.
You know, I think we're a better team than we felt like we were today at times. But you know, we just continue to grow. We continue to improve. We try to build off the things we did well. You know, we hung in the game. We found a way to come back, and we had a chance to go. Had a chance to go win the game.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
It's Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network. Mick Mixon with the general manager of the Carolina Panthers, Marty Herney, following the 7-point loss to Chicago on Sunday. Marty, let's begin with your general impressions of what you saw, both with your naked eye and after your tape study of that ball game.
Well, Mick, we did some good things, but the things that we had done the 3 weeks before that, when we had a 3-game winning streak, we got off our formula some. Too many penalties, turnovers. We have to get in the end zone. That's when we get in the red zone. That is something that we've been trying to improve on each week. And we basically, you know, had some plays that on both offense and defense side of the ball that we had a chance to make that, you know, could have been pivotal plays and we did not make. So, listen, we played a very good team. That's a very good team. But we think that we are a good team that when we do the things that we have to do to play well, we lost some chances there yesterday. And we didn't do some of the things we had done, say, the 3 weeks leading up to it.
The loss is only that. It is a loss. But do you take any consolation at all in the fact that even with all the things that went off script and were sort of un-Panther-like, that the Panthers still had only down 7 with the ball twice, a chance to go down and tie it or win it?
That's the great thing about it, Mick. I mean, that's the positive about it. And I think this, you know, this team is so exciting because the resilience it has, and it always keeps punching. And we had a chance up until we got the ball back again with a minute 44. All the things that we did that we feel like we could have done better, and we were still in the game with a team that is now 5-1. I mean, I think that each week you go in and just want to get better and improve each week. And that's what we're doing. We did some things this week that we need to clean up, but this is such a resilient team. And I think it's an exciting team to watch.
Matt Rhule told the press corps today, and he told us a little bit earlier on the show, that going back and looking at the tape, he was able to really clearly see the kind of duress that Teddy Bridgewater was under from that, the push from the Chicago defensive front throughout the day. Do you see it the same way, Marty?
Yeah, they're a stout group, and they do a lot of things. They do twists, and they play games, and they applied a lot of pressure. And that's really what, you know, they base their defense around. And then they play really, really tight, strong coverage behind it. I mean, it's one of the best defenses in the league, but they really did. They got upfield, and, you know, that's why Teddy had 8 runs, because when we didn't have guys open, he found a seam and tried to get as many yards as he could. But that's a very formidable defense.
Marty Herney on Panther Talk. Marty, what's the process like after you've watched the tape and the head coach has watched the tape, that the two of you compare notes on what you've seen?
Yeah, we just talk about what we have to improve on and evaluate, you know, individual performances. And, you know, it's usually we see things very much alike. And I think yesterday was easy to see from a group of what was, from a formula standpoint, of what we needed to do. And I think that the attitude, though, and I love Matt's approach, is just we have to – it's all about us. It's all about how we play. And if we do the things well that – fit into our formula like we had done for the most part the three games leading up to it, then we're going to have a chance to win a lot of games. And we did some good things yesterday against a good football team, but we didn't do enough. And we just have to, clean those things up and continue to focus on doing the things that we know will lead us to win football games.
Some of it's obvious to see, the guys that play well for fans, for broadcasters, even though some of broadcasts sort of we tend to have to watch the ball or choose to do that. What did you see, Marty? Maybe a guy or two that might have escaped some obvious attention that you thought played well yesterday?
You always put me on the spot with these questions, Mick.
That's the fun part of my job. I love doing that.
It's hard to say. I think that defensively, I don't know who you wouldn't expect to play well, but, you know, Bravion Roy, I think, was in there and did a couple things. I think that obviously Derrick Brown made some plays. Our front got some pressure, but he got rid of the ball quickly and had guys open. You know, DJ and Robbie made some catches. I do think that we missed the presence of Curtis Samuel as that third weapon. But, it's hard because we really were – they came out and we were kind of fighting uphill from the very beginning after we gave them the short field and on the deflected interception, and they got ahead 7-0.
Sam Franklin, the 42, lives in the same apartment complex as me. If I run into him in the elevator, can I say something nice about him, or should I just be quiet?
You sure can. I tell you, and he's a physical player that I really like. Sam Franklin, I think he is – when he hits you, you know it. And he's really – I mean, since day one, and he keeps getting better. But he's a very good young safety. You know, we started him at linebacker, moved him back to safety – and he plays with good instincts, he's smart, and he's extremely physical.
Last question, we'll let you go, Marty, and I promise this won't put you on the spot. This time of year, normally, you'd be bag-packed, going to see college games, traveling the miles, staying in the hotels like you do. How about in the COVID era? What's your schedule like these days?
Yeah, I mean, right now, and I thought I was going to have a chance to get out this week. They have changed the rules somewhere. You can watch, go in stadiums and watch practices of college practice in the stadiums during the week. But right now, still haven't been able to get out to do that, but looking forward to doing that soon.
No, you love that part of your job, Marty. Thanks for your time, and we appreciate you being on Panther Talk as always.
Thanks, Mick. Appreciate it.
Tonight's visit with Marty Herney brought to you by FanDuel. You can play FanDuel's Gridiron Pick'em for free every week directly from the Panthers app on your phone. You can win $1,000. So FanDuel says, get in the game. FanDuel, official partner of the Carolina Panthers. What do you got, Zoe?
Injury update. Well, Marty kind of covered it. Curtis Samuel, we knew going in, was one of the ones that was kind of added as far as a game time decision. And then from within the game, Justin Burris with the ribs injury, which led to, Sam Franklin seeing some time back there at safety yesterday. Injury updates are brought to you by Ortho Carolina. Your personalized orthopedic care begins with the click of a mouse. Schedule your next appointment online at orthocarolina.com. Ortho Carolina, your care, your way.
I love Marty's voice. I often think about, okay, now what power tool does his voice sound like when he's breaking this all down? Eugene, when you played, were you aware, did the general manager, of course you interact with your coaches quite a lot, Did the general managers have the personal touch that Marty Herney does with his franchise?
No, not at all. Not at all. Marty is kind of one of a kind because he does have his hand and his finger on it, but it's on it, but you don't notice that it's there. And he offers some great commentary and kind of gives you an insight of what the management is thinking and what the coaches are thinking. So I think it's absolutely awesome that he comes on and graces us with his presence and just his knowledge of the game and what the franchise is doing. So that's big ups, and that's unusual.
If you saw your general manager back when you were playing, was that something to alert you to run the other direction? And
yes, because you thought you were traded.
Something bad's going to happen.
I think I just got traded.
This draft class, the all-defensive player draft class, made some headlines, of course, around the nation. Looks like it's got a chance, though, to be a good class.
A lot
what do you
of
think,
so? Yeah, I think, immediately, obviously, Derrick Brown and Jeremy Chinn playing at a high level. Yetur was just coming around to play better and get some more snaps out there in that rotation before the high ankle sprain. You know, Troy Pride Jr. is getting a lot of valuable snaps out there and obviously is someone that you don't want to just rely on as being one of your two corners but could develop into that. So, yeah, Eugene, you got to love that draft, right? All defensive guys, that's right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, and absolutely. I tell you what, I thought Brown played great yesterday. I mean, just his technique, even when I saw the double team, he didn't get pushed out of the way on the double team, but really fought the double teams off extremely well and then made some hits in the backfield. I thought he did well. And then Jeremy Chinn, my goodness, this young man is absolutely outstanding. The range, how he hinged back on that seven route to go ahead and get that interception, caught it at the highest point when he recognized early, a couple of series early, that they ran the exact same play, came back with it. That is really high football IQ that you have to go ahead and exhibit during a game and to make a play. And don't forget, that play, the interception, was just after a turnover. So, well done, young man. You've been balling.
Apparently on the TV broadcast yesterday, he was called Jimmy Chinn once.
Jimmy Chinn?
Jimmy Chinn.
Terrible.
And so it sounded like a Sopranos character.
Oh,
yeah.
Jeremy Lin. Jimmy the Chinn.
Yeah, I tell you what, this young man is a baller, and I can't wait to see what the – I mean, I think the sky is the limit. You know, it really is, because he's playing exceptionally well, in my opinion.
The ceiling is the roof.
It is. Yeah. He went up, and he caught the ball at its highest point, which, Eugene, as you would know, we call that high-pointing the football.
Yeah, as you would know.
High-pointing.
That's when you go to somewhere in between Winston-Salem and Greensboro with the football. You high-point it. All right, we're going to take a short break.
That's exit 112.
That was pretty.
They'll try it.
Karnak the Magnificent here. A city in Texas. All right, when we come back, we will talk about better things than what we have been talking about. That is our promise to you on Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
With the Zoc, Jeannie Robb, it's Mick. For those who do not know, Eugene Robinson played 16 years in the National Football League. Safety.
What? And, that's like John Madden. I thought he was just a video game.
Jeannie Robb, he had potential. I remember one time he had these black and white photographs, 8.5 by 12 at Panther Talk.
Yes, I did.
And someone came up to him and said, "You really played? Were you good? You really played in the NFL?" And he said, "I didn't have. I'm not the one that had these things printed up." I love that. So, Eugene, with your knowledge of defensive football, what has this staff seen in Corn Elder, now the starting nickel, that has him playing a lot more football?
The starting nickel is one of the most pivotal positions, particularly third down, second down, and long, because you have to be able to play both sides of the ball. You can't be a left corner, you can't be a right corner, you have to be both. And you have to be able to not only recognize when it's run, but recognize when it's passed and get in the right position. Cornell has been able to do that. Cornell has been almost like Captain Munnerlin in a way. Captain Munnerlin was a guy who can come up and make tackles, but can cover. I think Corn Elder does a good job of covering, a very good job of covering. And how you notice that is that when your guy doesn't catch the ball, when your guy is not targeted and they have to throw the ball on the outside, that means you're doing a really good job, because typically that slot receiver is the receiver that's most coveted receiver by the quarterback. And so he's doing a really good job. It's a quiet job that you don't know it, but it's a really good job.
Only got like 30 seconds in the segment, Eugene, but how difficult do you think it is for Dante Jackson, a speed guy with a toe injury, out there trying to battle through that?
That's almost like having turf toe. That's very, very tough, because you rely on your toes to make the cuts, to stop on a dime, and he's relying on that, and when it hurts, you just don't have all your stuff. And now you're operating about 80%, not 95%, not 100%.
For 5 Panther Talk bonus points, how old is Drew Brees?
41. Drew Brees have to be at least 42 now.
41 years old.
41, yes, 5 bonus points.
In his 20th year out of Purdue. Can you believe that? We'll talk about what it's going to take to knock him off of his spot, get him off of rhythm, when we come back with more Panther Talk in just a second.
Panther Talk, presented by Morris Jenkins, continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
The dark, dank, depressing Superdome, the destination for the Carolina Panthers. Drew Brees, age 41, has seen it all. He's seen all the blitzes, all the exotics, all the coverages, all the disguises. How do you draw up a game plan for him, Eugene?
You got to really get him off his spot, and we've said that a lot, by blitzing, getting your hands up, getting in the throwing lanes to make him move and look at that second, that third, that fourth receiver. Because when he has a chance to sit back there, he's going to pick you apart. But the more pressure that you can put on, the more times that you can move him, make him move laterally out of that pocket where he has to find those gaps, the better that you become. You got to take away his you got to take away his receivers. And I tell you what, that Alvin Kamara, you got to take away him. He's one of the guys that he looks for to kind of get to bail him out of things on routes when it's not deep down the field, but it's something that's short. And don't forget, Drew Brees can only throw that ball about 45 to 50 yards now. It's not going 70 yards. So the go route, you can plan on the go route being about 45 yards. And so you got to get after this guy.
Because he's only 3 feet tall, so that helps. And this would be really drawn up for Derek Brown, right? That's why you draft a guy like Derek Brown, to get that pressure up the middle on him. Kamara is just short of 400 yards receiving and just short of 300 yards rushing, and we're only 6 weeks into the season. Actually, for them, I'm sorry, 5 weeks into their season. They're 3-2. That's all in five games so far.
As we've described Drew Brees before, he is a habitual finger licker. A lot of quarterbacks sometimes do it.
He's the colonel!
You would think in the COVID era he would cut down on the saliva transfer a little, but he's got it the way he likes to do it, and I guess that's
it's now called Drew FC. Drew FC. There you go.
That's right. If you start laughing, I'm not going to save you this time.
Well, fortunately, we are about out of time.
Finish it.
Good show, guys. Appreciate it for
you
the
too.
Boys in the shop, for DL and everybody else. The Zoke, Jeannie Robb, it's Nick. This has been Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This has been Panther Talk with head coach Matt Rhule, presented by Morris Jenkins. Mr. Jenkins told me that he loves football, and he looks forward to this show all week. When your plumbing or air conditioning is acting up, call Morris Jenkins or visit morrisjenkins.com. Panther Talk. Panther Talk. Panther Talk. This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.
Hackers are after your business data. I can help. I am Vi, the virtual intelligence assistant at Virtual Armor.
Virtual Armor, partnered with Juniper Networks, provides cybersecurity services and end-to-end solutions to keep what's yours, yours. Defend yourself with managed firewall and managed SIM essential core services that are economical and efficient. Virtual Armor goes beyond just initial alerting to provide a thorough report on threats, vulnerabilities, and results.
Let me help protect you. Contact me at justaskvi. That's vi.com.